Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the September 9 edition of Commodity Week.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Monday morning, the United States Department of Agriculture will release its latest crop production figures. Will the market be moved? We'll ask that and many more questions later today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, Jackie Bakes from Stuart Peterson in Champaign, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker from ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Well, let's start our session with this question. In fact, when USDA brings those numbers out, Kurt Kimmel, on Monday morning, will the market be moved?
I suppose you want to know how much, right?
That is the question.
That's a tough one because I think the realization sat in that they're going to take yield down, but at the same time, they're going to lower the demand. So we'll see how much of an ending balance we have on ending stocks. But definitely the trade mindset is lower yield, lower harvested acres, lower production. We feel that probably the report's going to confirm it's going to be tight, positive.
Jackie Bakes?
Well, I think it's also going to be positive when we look at just the general consensus. We've had so much information into the market already. 148.8 on average for a yield, I think, is realistic. That's down 4.2 bushels from last month. And we do know that we can't be certain that the stocks for 10-11 crop are going to go up again. They went up last time. You know, they found some extra stocks. But we do know, looking at exports today, that we did end the year with 43 million more bushels of corn left and 25 more million bushels of beans left at the end of the marketing year. So it's very likely ending stocks for 10-11 are going to go higher, and that'll increase the carry-in. And I still think it's going to be supportive to bullish.
Dan Zwicker.
My guess is they're going to go to great pains not to have an earth shaker. It might be viewed as somewhat disappointing. I think the yields production is going to come down. The balance sheet's demand will probably come down. But I'm not convinced it's going to be a real earth shaker to the upside at this point. I don't think they want to backpedal. And the yield reports that I've heard so far around the Corn Belt would tell me that we're not going to get an earth shaker at least Monday morning.
Given that things don't change very much on Monday, when you talk to producers, I'm sure they're asking, am I far enough sold at this point, and should I just sell over the scale as mm-hmm. well? What do you tell them?
I tell them that they probably have until the October crop report to really cash in all their chips. But from some of the cyclical timing work that I do, kind of points to this mid-September time frame, give or take a variance factor that you need to at least have some form of protection on the downside at this point.
Jackie, Dan just told us you need to have all your chips cashed in on the October crop production report. That's a pretty good sized statement. Are you in those same shoes?
Oh, absolutely. My chips have been covered with puts for quite a long time already. You know, I just felt since the middle of June, we've seen the market going up, but we decided at that point in time, when you look at seasonals, you've got to get something covered. So I think being covered is the right place to be.
There's really no clear-cut answer there. It just depends on your own situation, but I agree with both Dan and Jackie. But I think you need to have that protection on paper, because we feel that the end user's not covered. He's going to have to come forward, be a buyer. So therefore, basis improvement is going to occur between now and clear into next July. And plus, being covered on paper gives you a great flexibility to shop around and see where you could get the best bid.
How do you do that? Because it's going to cost a producer to cover themselves on paper at this point, and many of them are going to be reticent to do that, especially if they simply have the cash in hand.
It's not going to be a true cost. It's going to be a money management process to go through. Yes, it does take money to finance a hedge, but in the end run, it's actually going to make you money, because what's going to happen is if you just do a straight hedge, basis will improve. You could have margin calls or put option costs, but where you're going to make the gain is on the cash side, as cash bids improve throughout this fall into early next year.
Right, and I think the other thing that we're not talking about, at least the guys I'm talking to, nobody wants to make cash sales right now. They don't want to take more income in 2011. But you cannot, as a business manager, look at a 740 price on the futures and not protect yourself in some way, shape, or form. I mean, 601 is where the insurance is. Why would you let that go just in case something happens with the EU or the world?
Okay, let me make sure, and then I'll come to you, Dan, here in a moment. Across the scale, you're going to store it, or you're going to what are you going to do with this crop when you bring it across the scale?
Well, if a guy's not sold up, he can sell across the scale and replace it. But if you got on-farm storage and you're pretty well sold up, I wouldn't sell across the scale. I would do some type of hedge program on paper.
That's what I thought.
Right. That's the same thing I'm saying. I'm saying you need to be hedged on paper. I think there's good reason to sit back and wait to see basis improvement.
And Dan?
Well, I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure the demand is strong enough to see big basis improvement, and I'm not too sure demand strong enough to see an inverted market. So I think as we go down the road, it wouldn't surprise me to see that we build carry into the marketplace because of a lack of demand, not necessarily because of a short crop. We are rationing demand right now, and I think unless something happens pretty quickly on the export front, you're going to see the export numbers really fall off quickly. But I also will agree with both Jackie and Kurt that the end user is not covered very much, and that he would probably take advantage of a meaningful break to get some kind of coverage on.
All right. So what I'm hearing, and I think I've got this right, is that despite the fact that you're at ADM and you're the elevator, which wants grain, you are of the opinion that actually this market might go lower. I've heard that, I think, from you a couple of times after October, and that a producer probably should think about marketing the grain. And when you say marketing, you mean cash sales.
Well, no. I mean, they can do anything they want. I don't want to, since I am affiliated with a grain company, I don't want to get into absolute specifics,
right,
because each individual needs to kind of do their own thing. But from a technical analysis point of view and some of my cyclical work, I think we're vulnerable to some weakness as we go into year end. And then we'll sit around and take a look at what kind of demand scenario we have, and by then we'll have a little better idea what supply is.
I'll stay with you for just a moment. Tell me what you've been hearing from offices across the Midwest about yields.
Just that the early stuff is probably going to be the best stuff. And the yields do seem to be coming in a few bushels better than they were expected on corn, anywhere from 5 to maybe 15 bushels better than what they were expected. And this gets tricky when you get into a market like this. I have heard some 60-bushel beans, believe it or not, in areas that really didn't receive a lot of moisture. But these are Group 2s. We'll see what happens as we go down the road.
I want to stay with corn and consumption for just a bit, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's backed off. There's been a lot of talk in the trade that it's backed off. Where it is it backed off, and do you think that is a temporary setback or is it a permanent situation?
Well, it's always hard to call anything permanent, but where we're seeing setbacks right now is in poultry already. We've pulled back about 5 to 6% on that. And poultry is usually the first indicator. It's the one I watch all the time to try and gauge whether we're starting to ration because they're the most sensitive. They turn those animals over really fast. And so I do think we're behind on corn, I guess, unlike Dan. I think that we've got good opportunity. The thing that at this point in time that concerns me, today we put the dollar went over the 200-day moving average today. And that's a pretty significant number. And so if we continue to see strength in the dollar because of world economic concerns, U.S. economic concerns, that could definitely shoot an arrow into the heart of our demand situation.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on the week. September corn this week had a high of $7.56, its low at $7.19¾. The settlement price down 24¼ at $7.26. December at $7.36½, off 23½ cents. September wheat at $7.01. That's the nearby down 29 cents. Next year's down 33¼ at $7.89½ for the July contract. Beans now. September futures 14.26¼ for the high, the low at $14.02¼. Settlement price 14.16½. Finish 19½ cents lower. November beans at 14.26¾, down 19 cents. Despite the fact that they were down, there seems to be some idea that there's much more under this bean market potentially in the near term than the rest of the complex. Do you think that's the case?
Well, even with China coming in and canceling some beans here on Friday and the market's ability to hold together, I think it could be some spread unwindings. But a lot of analysts are looking longer term here that maybe we'll see the bean acreage not be there, maybe bean demand still to come yet, and that as long as these beans can stay above this 14.05, 14.8 area, the old resistance level, the technical players want to try to keep it up there.
Is that right? The technical players going to stay there?
The technicals guys that are playing that breakout above $14 definitely wants to keep it there if they're on the bull side. And we have now come back to the point of breakout. We've wallowed around sideways here. It's time for beans to take off to the next leg up, or otherwise we're going to fall back down underneath $14, and then all of a sudden you could view that as a bull trap up there. So definitely beans need a positive report here on Monday to give it some strength here if we're going to go on higher.
Right, and when you look at the fact that Argentina's planting 10% more corn acres taken away from bean acres, South America's talking like that on the Brazil side too, I think you have to believe it. China is finally taking shipments again, even though they did some cancellations. They've been pretty strong in taking shipments in beans, and they hadn't done that for quite a long time. So I think that beans have a great opportunity to take a bounce. And when you look at the overall situation, I think the ratio between corn and beans right now is only a little over 2 for next year, which means that beans basically should have to fight for some acreage besides out in 12. So I think that there's a lot of things that back up the idea that we can go higher.
Officials in China this week said they're looking to import 10% more beans from the world market, right?
Yep.
They've gone down that road. They're staying down that road. So it's just a matter of time. Even though they cancel, they come back in and do some more purchasing. And they're counting on the U.S. and the South American market. We start to see some weather problems with La Niña in the southern hemisphere. The beans could be maybe the market to watch this winter instead of the corn.
And what do you want a producer to do with beans when they bring them in off the combine?
Well, I think if you need cash, go ahead and take advantage of these prices. But you can do some cheap or I can't say cheap, but some replacement strategies on paper, because if the funds come in and buy, the bang for the dollar is going to be on paper on the board.
Yep, and that isn't any different than I would have said, because I do believe that the bang for the buck is going to come on the board.
Well, there's a lot of opportunities farmers can do. I mean, your local elevator has opportunities on the minimum maximum contracts. They have opportunities that you can buy a call against a cash sale. So if you're in that bullish mood that soybeans do have a run toward 16 or above, I don't think the fundamentals are here yet. We need a more of a supply shock, I think, to get beans up to those levels. But the chart pattern is still generally positive towards some kind of move up into those areas yet.
You're listening to the September 9th edition of Commodity Week. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. This note for our listeners to WILL AM 580, our home radio station. We will be powering down starting probably the 14th day of September. So if you're looking for Commodity Week or the radio station, you may not find it. We'll be back about the 1st of October, maybe a bit before that. You can always find us online at willag.org. And this week, we have announced a brand new mobile website. The address is M, that's as in mobile, m.willag.org. And you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming and our Commodity Week program there at m.willag.org.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The four-day heat wave last week came to an abrupt end this week as cool, dry Canadian air settled in over the Midwest. Temperatures in Illinois this week averaged 3 to 6 degrees below normal. Early in the week, highs were in the 60s to low 70s in the northern two-thirds of Illinois, and overnight lows dropped into the low and mid-40s across the state on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings. In addition, brisk northerly winds not only maintained the flow of cool, dry air, but added somewhat of a chill to the air, even with the sunshine. Rain fell across much of the state with the frontal passage last weekend, but amounts varied from a trace to as much as an inch and a half in some parts of northern Illinois. Whatever rain was received helped, but overall did little to relieve the extended dry conditions over western and central Illinois. Late in the week, rain showers associated with an upper-level low, the leftovers of Tropical Storm Lee, backed westward through Indiana and into Illinois. Coverage was generally scattered and amounts were light. The slow-moving upper low will be affecting Illinois weather through the weekend with some scattered rain and cloudiness, but then the weather should warm a bit early next week. Another cold front is likely to move through Illinois on Tuesday, dropping temperatures back to or below normal for the remainder of the week. Next week, we'll be watching the progress of Tropical Storm Nate, now in the Gulf of Mexico. It may result in some rain for Illinois by next weekend, but time will tell. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the September 9 edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio include Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. On the phone line, Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Jerry, thanks so much for being with us. What's the mood in Chicago at this point about the marketplace?
The mood in Chicago. I think initially here, lots of excitement about yield scenarios and really backing off here. But I think as people have kind of noted in here, it has cooled just a little bit here as we kind of approach the report on Monday. I think the key feature is that we're going to be at pipeline supplies. The USDA is not going to take the corn carryover down below 650 very far or below 150 in the soybeans. At this stage of the game, whatever the yields are, if they're 150 or if they're at 148 in soybeans, if they're going to be below 41 or not, that's always a little interesting scenario. The biggest change we're going to have, I think, is the everybody's cautious about the fact we're not likely to see any acreage adjustments until next month when the FSA numbers really come into play. That's still a very important factor. It seems like most people are definitely not impressed by the harvested acre numbers for the Missouri Valley areas there that got hit by the floods, and even some of the Eastern Corn Belt numbers still could be a little shakeout. So right now, though, the market is cautiously optimistic, but at the same time, it is harvest right around the corner.
Well, Jerry, since you went through the numbers there, basically, I just need to know where it's going to close Monday.
Well, they tried to get you into the same question that the first one there, sir.
I know, I'm trying
they
to.
You did answer it very nicely. But, you know, from a standpoint of in the short term here, some kind of short-term correction, I don't think, is something that would surprise anybody here as we kind of get into the marketplace here. But I think the other side of the coin is that I don't see a tremendous amount of downside. I do see that there is going to be some scaled-down commercial buying in here. As Dan has mentioned, the end users are not extremely covered here. I point to some of the poultry industry in that regard. I think the pork industry is in better shape on that. I think the Smithfields and the Tysons, I think, have done a little better job. I think the ethanol industry has been out there all along, and they've got some coverage out there. Exporters, though, I think also are in this kind of wait-and-see game here since June, July. From there, we are going to see some reductions in export numbers just to make everything balance out when we get to this adjustment that we see here on the production numbers coming out this month from there. But at the same time, writing something down on a piece of paper doesn't really ultimately determine what our demand is at this stage of the game when you have a full year out ahead of us. It really depends on what happens in other places around the world on whether if this La Nina situation does start to make an impact. Those are things that are longer term. The South American issues that we've talked about already in the show, a lot of those have things I brought up in a presentation I made to the soybean producers in Ohio last week. And it's a scenario here where we end up have that stocks-to-use ratio situation that could really give an the soybean-corn ratio that could give us an extra little pop on those things longer term. So I'm nearly not in a big selling mood for new crop beans.
What are you hearing, Jerry, from all of your clients that are already harvesting? I know you've got clients all over, too.
Well, the ones in central Illinois are the only ones that are really doing anything. I got some in Minnesota, Iowa, Ohio, other places around. But that central Illinois situation, there's good yields, there's bad yields along the way. The early yield situations, as we all kind of sense, are going to potentially be the better yields out here in Illinois, at least. And right now, at least, the Iowa yields, I think, could be quite interesting. They've had that one area from really northwest Illinois, northwest Iowa, all the way through southeast Iowa and into western Illinois. They really had a dry streak in here for quite some time, and that could have a significant impact on some corn yields. I'm taking down both Illinois and Iowa yields from the last report about 10 bushels to come up with my average.
Jerry, looking at the acres, I know USDA made the comment that they weren't going to mess with acres on this report, that they were going to basically wait till October. What's your thinking where those acres are actually going to go at some point in time?
Well, looking at the acres that we've got here, and they're projecting for Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri. Let's look at the Sioux City or to Columbia, Missouri situation there. I'm anticipating that probably we've got about 200,000 acres of corn in that area that is going to be adjusted out of there. I think there could be 150,000-200,000 of beans. Maybe it's around 400,000 corn and soybeans in that area. That's what I'm picking up from insurance people that didn't. This got completely washed out. Also, my travels to the east here last week, some of the commentary from some of the people out there is that this preventive planting situation, Illinois, western Ohio and eastern Indiana, is going to end up having some preventive planting acres in there that could make an adjustment, per se. And who knows about the amount of harvested acres we're going to get in Kansas on corn. The heat issues down there, they've taken some significant numbers, so I think the same thing in Texas out of those things. So there's a possibility we could rack up a number in corn at 500,000 acres of less harvested, beans maybe in the category of 300,000 to 400,000.
Jerry, recent history suggests to us that high prices generally are a cure for high prices. That was the case for the wheat market, where we went from a very short wheat crop to an abundance of wheat across the globe. How long do you think this will take to resolve itself for corn and soybeans?
Well, I think we still need a significantly good crop for next year. I think that's on a longer-term basis. I think that's quite an important factor. I think after the last 2 years of U.S. crop yields, I think people are going to be quite cautious about declaring themselves a winner with 160 bushel yields and 145 bushel beans, just because we might get some acres, and we will get some more acres likely for next year from there. But I think that's going to keep things together through the spring period as we try to really attract and get these acres planted that we needed to get this thing turned around. And the one feature about wheat is going to be quite interesting. We need to get some winter wheat planted in the U.S. here, and the dry conditions that are currently there, if they continue on through the fall here, that can make a ding even in next year's wheat on the worldwide basis.
Hey, Jerry, is there anything on Monday's report on the world supply-demand balance sheet we need to be watching for?
Well, the corn number is going to be interesting on a carryover scenario. It's kind of tight now. If you take out the numbers we're talking about here, 300 or 400 million adjustment from 2.9 down to 2.5, that's a big ding in there. We're going to adjust them, and we're going to find some feed wheat in there to make some adjustments out of it. The beans, USDA's numbers on world numbers there, they're at 60 million for next year. That's a pretty significant decline, primarily because of what's happened in the U.S. yields at this point. But if we do see some of those shifts down there, and right now the USDA is using about a 1.95 million hectares more in the three big producers down there of Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay. And somehow or other, I think right now the Argentine producer out there, who has no real love loss for his government at this point, would switch over the 1 million acres of they're projecting from the USDA to corn, because there's no tax on that, by the way. Could be a very, very interesting switch on that, and could make a big, big impact on the carryover stock for next year. But that's not going to be happening this month. I'm just fantasizing.
You know, Jerry, this morning when we opened up our weather forecast, we all saw that five-letter word called frost.
Yes.
And, you know, what's your opinion as to what the market is going to do if we come back in on Sunday night and still see a relatively good confidence level that's what's going to happen during the week next week in the upper Midwest?
I'd say that it would definitely give us a little bit of stability out there ahead of the report. I think it's going to be a quiet Sunday night otherwise without it. The frost in areas I'm picking up right now really is mostly Northwoods in Wisconsin in the parts of Minnesota. But if it does slide a little further west out here and grab some more of that western Minnesota areas, I think it would make a big difference.
Jerry, thanks so much.
All right.
Jerry Goodell is with North America Risk Management. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Now, a final word from our panelist in studio, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
The best one I heard this last week was 240 bushel corn. 200 bushel on one end of the farm, 40 bushel on the other end of the farm.
Jackie Banks and Stuart Peterson.
Let's all remember September 11th on Sunday.
And Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
Be safe. We got a lot of big equipment running around. People's always in a hurry, so be safe.
Good advice. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. Jackie Bakes of Stuart Peterson. Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities. Of course, Jerry Goodell at North America Risk Management. My name's Todd Gleason. I'm with U of I Extension, urging you to visit our website at willag.org and our new mobile platform at m.willag.org. If you listen to us on WILL AM 580, starting not this week, but next week and probably the following program, will disappear, and then we'll come back in the month of October as we do some repair work on our towers.